You know, I like Gary. I hoped in the earlier years I'd be grounded in enough word and active in it to know that I have 50 more years to whip the devil real bad. It's 120 was the last drop-off we had at age ability. Just when he was kindling that kind of thing in me, I heard the report on the radio where a guy died at 122. I said, thank you. But what you're going to know from now on, especially if you're on a path that is sovereignly, deliberately bringing you to everything the cross provided, if you're on that kind of path, then what you'll be saying 10 years from now will be based and advanced and will contribute to what you know then. And when you get there and learn there, that'll lay the foundation and contribute to what you'll know 5 years from then. And we can't keep taking contributions without ending up. The opposite happens. You get on the wrong path. The crumbling foundation contributes to cracks in the walls. And finally, the whole thing falls down in a mess. But that's not where we're going. I was still part holiness and faith and prayer when I moved to Tulsa. So I thought it'd be a quick work. But after it didn't turn out to be quick, I got the history books out. And Gary covered that a little too. And about any generation we live in, we're real, real blessed if four or five Smith Wigglesworths will kind of appear and make that kind of dent in the body of Christ, and even have cities declared the most health-free city because of the presence of one man of God that lived in the city. See, well, knowledge will be compounded in every year. What you learned now contribute to what you'll know then, and you couldn't know beyond that unless you knew what it contributed to and brought you to know beyond that. But I'm like Gary now. I'm going to grab on to the years that we're going to finish this up with. I like Gary looked at his body and says, "You're changing. You're changing. You're going to change." I had so much fun this morning, I got to even hold my wallet up as a hint when he got to, you know, how he started out like everybody else and sent $120 off for a miracle wallet guaranteed to never go empty. So since he was on that, I held my wallet up and he included that little plastic wallet in, but he didn't say plastic wallet, but he included the teaching. I got so tickled. Before I left for Brazil, I talked about an avalanche that fell down behind me and closed the pass. There was no way to go back. I didn't want to. I was leaving one realm, going into the next. Well, in Brazil, here I am clear on the other side of the world, and I got to face part of what would block a door that's belonging to this next round that he wants to walk into. It has so much to do with the love of God, I don't even understand it yet. But my good report is for now that everything the devil threw at me, I was able to throw it back. Someday I'll tell you the rest of the story, but not now. Not now. All you need to know is I came out of it victorious. And I'll tell you, it was worse in two nights than it was those 2 years when that first year the devil tried to get us to go into the sensationalism move and sang to me and gold dusted and all that kind of thing. Then the following year, I got wise to who it was. So we didn't fall for that. So I found out then. Remember, I was preaching on I didn't supposed to make it this far. I was supposed to be supposed to be even dead. And I found out in this encounter that I was scheduled. I was scheduled to be out of the picture 2 years ago. Too bad. Ha ha ha. Compounding. Ha ha ha. It's compounding. 10 years from now, what are we going to know? And what are we going to be in? Because changes are coming. I've had the privilege of facing some of those devils that I've read about in the past. You can just whip them just as easy as you do the little whimping ones. All you got to do is use the name of Jesus. Are you excited? Yeah. I'm so excited. Every time a verse starts coming up in a message, the excitement pushes it out of the way and I want to sing or something. Last thing, I think. Things are so different. The circumstances are different. Anticipation is different. The unbelief seems to be drastically affected. I don't know how to explain this realm. Only to say this, I guess. I learned all about fasting, prayer, confession. As praying in tongues opened each door. But then when it opened the door to what God was, is, he's all those other things, immutability, like describes his character. He can't change, nor can he be changed. Or his sovereignty. There's only one sovereign state that rules. That's him from the inside. Everything. But he is. He is love. And my head learned quite a bit about it. Approaching this gateway. But if how I feel is any indication of what's going to happen, we're stumbling into something. She's just now opening. So stay with me. And times put up with me because, although I knew everything about my other realm, it's all my whole foundation. This one I don't know a whole lot about yet, except that I do know everything God is available. Everything He is available. He's made Himself that way for manifestations. Without Him taking the love that I received when I've got a new nature. See, somebody says, I'm walking in God's love. Well, that's good. But did you know that the love He has is Him? But the love you have, it's a product of the new nature you receive that's capable of it. See, when you raise your hands and tell God you love Him, He didn't take His love and put it in there so you could give you what you He gave you back. Well, of course they said that because I programmed. When you raise your hands and you say, I love you, that comes from you. That comes from you and the love you let mature you and change you. And you say, I love you, Father. Lift your hands. Then that love is from you. Not me, not Him. It's from you, and it means everything to Him. You talk about getting down and welcoming us in a position close to the Creator of everything that call us family. And He said, you can call me your Father. Well, once that love that you have develops, and that's why we keep thinking, oh, He's given me more love. He's given me more. And yet, we'll say that, and we know that He loves us. We'll say that. But for some reason, we don't trust Him. You know, He's... Well, I know He said I'm healed, but... Do you hold anything against anybody for all of this? No, because He doesn't. No. This I know more about Him than ever before. Who would He walk with if He walked with a wineskin that didn't have any problems? We have the privilege of learning His word and whipping Him one at a time. That's what we don't want to stop. And I can tell you, of course He loves you where you're at. Of course He does. He loved you before you were born again, did everything He could to get you into the fold. I often wondered about the reward. We're going to get some kind of reward there for services well rendered, our lives. Paul said, well done, my good and faithful servant, was enough for him. We wonder. I always wondered. If you paid for the whole thing, why is there a reward? Grace teachers are getting on dangerous ground now, if you don't know that. Very dangerous ground. But we're not going to teach on that right now. He loves you. He's made every single thing available to us that we could possibly need. So I'm thinking, you did all of this. You're even going to give us a reward for it. Some brought forth 30, 60, 100 fold. Some. Good, acceptable, and perfect. He labeled it in Romans. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Luke 40, 60, 100. Same thing. So, why a reward? I'll tell you why. He doesn't have anywhere else to get family. He knew that when Adam was standing there and Eve and a single strand of DNA, both of them. He knew that back then. Only place he can get his family. So he prophesied 4,000 years in advance about who would bruise Satan's head or destroy the power he had over death. It was the second Adam, who he called his son, who made it possible for us to be born again back into the family. Well, he had to use people to get here. He had to use his son to pay the price. He had to use his apostles, what he taught, to go into the whole world and depend on them. He had to depend on the believer. These signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So on. It's never dawned on you that you're all he has. I told God, I said, I could hold all my relatives against you if you planned the dark ages. All the relatives I've lost in the dark ages, why didn't you just go to them and tell them? And if you knocked Paul on the road to Damascus down on the ground and saved him because you thought he'd have a good ministry, then why didn't you knock us off? Why didn't you knock Adam down? If it's your choice, why didn't you knock Adam down? Why didn't you stop him? Real good part of this. No matter what's wrong with me, I can find his word and set my course and go to the place that fixes my problem. You just gotta be stubborn. You just have to be stubborn, so. Our eyes are going to see revival fires burn here. Don't doubt it. I don't.
Well, I do.
You're not going to stop it, though. So why? Why a reward? We've said this several times. I remember when God coined it in me. The most costly thing heaven's ever sustained is our right to make choices. But without it, what does he have? The angels even had that. We talk about the other creations, they had it. Otherwise, Lucifer wouldn't have been capable of what he did. Something about you, if you've been around forever, you're going to forever. You're God, so you have the power to create a being that's born of you. Born or created of you, like the angel. To the angels, he said, who make it his spirit. But to the Son, he said, today I have begotten thee. Today you're my Son. Why? What does he want from you? What do you mean to him? We're going to get a look at a billion other eternities. And he needs this. What if you as God and you was alone and everything you created knew what it had to do? So I can't tell you what it means to him when you raise your hands and say, I love you. He knows it was your choice. You don't know what it means to him when the devil's jumping up and down on your back and screaming against the word. You just keep saying it and quoting it until one day you get up and what was there is not there anymore. He can't lie. Why wouldn't he do it? Back to the reward. Who was happy when the prodigal came home? It wasn't his brother. It was his father. God, it was me that killed the fatted calf. Look, he's lost. And he's been found. He's come home to us. So what about the silver piece that the woman lost? When she found it, there was more rejoicing over that one piece of silver than all the others that she had. You have 100 sheep. One of them's lost. What does heaven rejoice over? The 99? No. Why is there a reward? One more time. He doesn't have anybody else. This is where he gets his family. What am I going to do with my old wineskin while the new wine is operating? I'm going to fast, pray, do whatever I have to do. But this wineskin is going to last the duration of my life, maybe 120 years. And what are you going to do? I'm going to make it a major product to fill heaven with his family. Why? Because that's why I'm here. Would you get a reward? Oh, hey, turn my life over, serve him. Just because I'm a mouth in the body of Christ, that's what I was called to be, a mouth and operate in the spirit. And you're called to be the entrepreneur. You can win people all around you, but your major scores will usually be when you place that next million in a national wide crusade where hospitals were being emptied the whole world wide in that country. And you outsmarted the devil and took money away from his system and put it in the gospel. What did it turn into? Power. It bought hours. It bought platforms. It brought communication. He got everything ready for the mouth to come out. You think the mouth is the only one that gets the glory? The reward? You think because you had something that shelved you, and all the power you released in the kingdom of God was known by nobody? You just wait till you get there. loves me. I know that like never before. And guess what? I'm a step closer. So why does he give a reward? Because he had to leave you in the old wineskin. He has no other way to reclaim his family. So you give yourself to that and fulfill what you're called to do, then there's something waiting for you there. People will be there all over the place because you took your place in the body. Receive the measure of faith for your call and your walk and walked it out. Then it's going to link up to everybody that was born again with what you had to do with. You don't have to be the mouth. Well, I feel like I'm a missionary. Ooh, what an opportunity for you to pay for them while they're over there. Then you can stay here, live the life of Riley, while they're over there getting beat up by natives with clubs. Can we just worship him for a minute? Let me tell you how he uses you. He said, do you think that those Jews that he killed and mixed their blood with their sacrifices were bigger sinners than anyone else? Or the 18 whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew, you think they were greater sinners than anybody else? He says, I tell you, nay. If you don't repent, you're going to somewise likewise perish. But then he went right into a parable to explain the meaning. And in the parable, he said there was a vineyard. There was a tree that wasn't producing any figs. So finally, the man that owned it, he says, it cut the tree down. There's no use it cumbering the ground, taxing it and not producing fruit. And he's just getting ready to cut it down, and he would have. Except one of those intercessors jumped in between the tree and the destruction of it and said, leave it alone. Let me dig around it. Let me take care of it. Talking about that reward again. You're the only place he has to get people. That has a few meanings to it, but it boils down singularly to. What do you think is going to happen when you pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? Harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. What really happens? And I take somebody's name, like Stephen did, and Paul held the coats, or instructed him and held the coats of the young man that stoned him to death. But he forgave them. Hold this not to their charge. That was all God needed to go after Paul. That changed the course of Jesus. Jesus directed him. He met him on the road to Damascus. Now you think you can't get some lost person's name out? You think that 6,000 years ago, when he stood there, that I'm saying, why'd you do it? that he didn't have the whole human race which was in his DNA and his mind? Do you think one of you is worth less than another? All these people are going this direction. And you lay somebody on the altar. Leave them there. These people are good believers. And all of a sudden, because of what you did, some of their directions are shifted. Destination? Who you're believing for? Doctors to doctors. Motorcycle riders to motorcycles. And like me and Gary, guitar players to guitar players. Do you know he played in a band? Gary. Galaxy, in the distant galaxy, long ago. Keromas Kurasa to Brati. Yes, sir. Can you believe how long I exhorted? Yes, sir. Not quite yet. Please. We were driving towards Jinx from up here. And I was asking God about the call here. Tim had come into the office. He was a specialist actually in counseling and setting up. His plan was, as people needed help with the preachers he had set up, they could come to him. He could help them in every area getting off the ground. But he stayed with us. I still remember that. One time I remember a prophet said, "Yea, thou shalt stand before kings." And we was having our meeting that we have, Gary and me and Tim, to locate everything. And I got off into that. I'm something. Looks like I'm really going to stand before them, you know. And Tim says, "I've heard that several times before ministries are destroyed." And I thank God for the wisdom that day. See? And on the way, we were driving along on the way. I'd ask God to give me a scripture. In those days, I leaned on it heavily. I leaned on it. Because if I'm thinking he wanted me to go somewhere fast or something, I'd say, "Give me a scripture." The first couple of times he did it, I opened one right straight to a fasting scripture. I said, "No, I didn't want it to say yes." Just give me chapter and verse and book. And I went over there. But I asked him about the future. Could you just give me a hint on this? 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 2. Actually, you can start with 1. It's so close. God talked about the prophet going to David. He wanted him to build him a house. It goes on. So I said, "Wait a minute. This is just personally you giving me a witness. I know that. I'm not him. I'm not there. But you really do want me to build your house, don't you? Which is us. Well, I mean, really build it." On one of the longer fasts, I jumped into a shower. I was quite happy because I'd ordered cantaloupe and everything to break it. When I was inside, it's when I had the vision. There was a realm this thick of darkness surrounding the earth. And I go, that's the devil, isn't it? Principality of the air. About this thick, and we were down here, and this thick, and here's the planet. And people would fight her, try to fight their way through it. Some would stick their hands through it, and there's a bright realm outside of that. They stick their hands in it, and they come back, and people would get healed. Others stuck their mind in it. Oh gosh, I could teach. So they got past that belt. But a few beat their way all the way through it. Crawled up the other side. And then come back, shot back to earth like a meteorite. Wherever they hit, there was revival fires. This wasn't too long after that. 50-year experience there. He said, no, that's not the devil. I said, what is it then? He said, that's your flesh. That's what you get past. That's what the devil uses against you. I've got new stories about him when he'll let me tell them. I'm not the one left that was humiliated. They'd break through and they'd spring past and land in a dark place in the earth, and pretty soon there was fire, kindled fire. So you that are left, you got a foundation to receive a whole lot more. And for you that are more recent, don't worry. You'll be able to find out and enter in a lot quicker because you don't have to discover all of it. There's a class of spirit that hates me a whole lot more than it used to in here. Listen, if you've been pushed down, just it won't let up hardly. This happened the last week or something, and depression is trying to eat you alive, and your days are like that, and you get it off of you for a little while and it comes back. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to. You can either stand up where you're at . In fact, you don't even have to make a show of this. I don't know if I'd want to. I'd have too much pride until after I was delivered. Why don't all of you stand up? And if you have that, get ready for him to leave. And remember this, he'll try to come back, but you're going to get a rest between. He'll try to come back, you tell him. When the Lord taught me a while ago, but now it's a whole lot more real and alive to me than ever. He said you need to treat that ugly thing like a person. Because that's what it is, it's a being, not a person, it's a being. You think those things just originate suddenly inside of you for no reason? So, well, I'm taking the drugs as an antidepressant. Well, I know, and I know it helps because it turns part of the brains off you can access. Makes a zombie out of you, but at least you're not depressed. No. Yes, sir. I know. See, we just don't know. I found this out a few years ago when I got attacked. We just don't know when one of those things comes into your presence. And I'll tell you, it's determined a lot of how much of the truth you're hearing that he has to abort for you before you get on any kind of foundation. But I can tell you right now, you got a power over all the power, all A-double-L of the enemy. If you can say the name Jesus, well, he taught me how to concentrate it. Treat it like a person walked in. I know you're in here. This is not me. So you get out in the name of Jesus, and you get out now. Now! Boy, the whole atmosphere changed. Oh, who is me? You're a swallower of 6 pills at a time. Can you imagine being sedated enough where a devil don't bother you? So all of you can raise your hands, and you who don't need it, you'll be praying for the ones that does. Father, I thank you for what's in this love and in this door that's opening now to greater and greater things. I know it. And I'm already celebrated in the before math. So Father, right now, you depressing, downcast devils, liars, depression devils, you liar. These people are God's sons and daughters. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, whatever hold you've anchored onto, it has been broken now. Do you hear me? Now, in Jesus' name, you turn loose of them and exit the building. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come to me as your Father. Come to me as your Father and your Lord. For it is I that have set you free. This freedom is already an established fact. Come in to agreement with me and enjoy the freedom and liberty of my truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, nothing seems to be happening now. Whoa, good. What a time to fill it with worship and praying and stuff. Hallelujah. You mean you get time off? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Pain. Pain. In Jesus' name, all kinds of pain, causings, affliction, diseases, I don't care. Father, in Jesus' name, I command every pain to leave their bodies. And you stay gone. Your damage is over. Your damage is over, and your hold is broken. And if you've been irrigated by a devil, those days are over. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Beskarasa. Free. No more pain. Hallelujah. For know this, the things that I've said, I've said them because they've been called into being. So hear what I'd say. For the earth, the cultures, the civilizations are going to go through a time, and there'll be horrible famine and lack here and lack there. But know this, in this place I'm bringing you, that you will know that provision has been made. Therefore, you'll walk in the revival places to where people are making decisions to come to me by the thousands. Famine, lack will not bother you, because this next realm, which compasses more and more of my love, never fails, nor does it have any fear. So be bold. Hold on to your path, even though it seems to get narrower and narrower. Hold on, because great things are ahead of you who stay with me, saith the Lord. Oh, you'll be rejoicing over not the lack, but the ability to feed people and get them healed. Revival camps. There's a revival camp raging over here, old healed one. Get over there. They got food.
Where'd they get it?
We don't know. Some banana turned into 1,000 bananas. That's what we heard. Come on. Don't let nothing hold you down now. Don't let it drag you down. You don't feel like praying, don't feel like doing this. Hold it. Face that thing. Tell it to get out. Leave me alone. You got that? Get out. Get out in Jesus' name. And watch it change. Then worship more. He hates that atmosphere. He'll lie to the devil. I mean, the devil will lie to the devil when he reports back. Why didn't you torment the one I sent you to torment? They were worshiping and it hurt.
Well, Brother Roberson, I can't speak with tongues.
It's the second. It's what came next. I started praying in tongues early on because I didn't know else to do what. I'm jumping ahead of myself, aren't I? Do you know how important? He that searches the heart knows what is God's mind, and it enables him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. Then you know things will be turned to your good for the purpose of God. Things were going to destroy you, he intercepts. And instead his purpose is worked. Then you get to chapter 12 and it blatantly says, now that you know how, offer your body a living sacrifice. Praying in tongues prays the mysteries of Christ out. Once you pray them out, then they edify you because you understand what he is in you. Where do you think faith comes from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How about this quote? Faith comes by hearing and by understanding of the hearing of the word of God. Because he's not going to go. He says, say not in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, bring him down, who will ascend into the deep. He's not going to bring him back to die for you and take your pains and your sicknesses. He's not going to go down and raise him from the dead and rescue him again out of hell. He's not going to do it. Say not in your heart, who will ascend up, who will ascend and bring him up. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have to stop. You know, that he's not going to go provide this again, so you might as well take what he's done for you. He's not going to die again for you. He's not going to ascend down for us again. He's already done it. So let's learn how to take it. Get this morning's tape, this early one. Get the early one. Get last Wednesday night's. Find out what to do with something that's stubborn and resists you. Find out what to do with it. Listen to Gary's testimony. How he walked out of it. Was it easy to say the 4 or 5 verses for 4 hours? Time after time after time. And be in debt so far you can't even begin to pay it. It's just stacked up at 4 hours. Anybody just went 20 minutes knows what that would be like. 4 hours. In a year. 1 year. A little less. The stack of bills was gone. Did he change what he was doing? No. He was teaching. Getting left truck driving. His teaching. Did he change anything? Nope. He just believed God. He started coming here. Stack of bills. Just disintegrated. And you know what? He's not going to buy anybody else's, but he's treating me to Indian Palace. But I can't speak with tongues. I can't speak with tongues. Come up here and you will. Come, it's your next step. He'll fill you right here on the spot. Come, come. All right. Very quiet. In answer to your wondering, when he came through the crowd, trust me, he healed things. He established things that depression was holding back. First thing God gets to do is move in and do what he couldn't because he carried that around. Trust me when I say he did a lot of things today. Nobody's been left out. You say, well, I need to get in the line. I need to do something. No. At this point, with the teaching of both services, what you need to do is take the word and worship God. Speak it over what you need and thank him that you serve a God that cannot lie. Therefore you are changed, healed, supplied, answered. Please, we're going to need you as an army, not the wounded few. Come on. Revival. Come on. Your own time. My time's my own. That time is running out. Who will it belong to? Him? Will I have a life? Probably a lot more than what you got now. Hallelujah.